Uploading. Tsunami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am a Jito Ryo master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
Episode of Tom's Prerogative right here on the Absolution Network. I am, of course, your Primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis, and welcome to what is episode 36 of The Prerogative. Right here on the Absolution, you know, Sarah's here with me. Of course, Sarah's my computer. I actually don't talk about her much. It's something I realized the other day as I was listening to old episodes is one of my plans was I was going to introduce Sarah, my computer, and, you know, of course, my room, the Absolution, which sounds completely crazy. And I've come to the realization, oh my god, I've not been doing that. So, yeah, Sarah's here with me. She can't talk, unfortunately, because I don't have the money to buy that voice. But no, Sarah's here with me. We're here in the Absolution, and we're ready to review the final episode of Ecchi Month here at Tom's Prerogative, right here on the Absolution Network. Yes, Ecchi Month, which has been controversial, crazy. I'm probably going to redo that Stripperella episode again and make it a special. Because that whole episode was crazy. That might be an episode where I bring somebody on to do it. But with all that being said, we're here at the final episode, and as I said last week, at the end of last week's episode, we're covering the third of my top three favorite animes of all time. I've covered all three of them in this year. I've covered Gundam Wing, that's another review I'll probably have to do again one time, because I've not liked the way that turned out exactly. Probably have already heard about that. Kaleidostar, which I did with my good friend Lucid Dream. And so now we're here on my third favorite anime of all time. And it is in my number three spot. You know, Gundam Wing's number one. Kaleidostar is actually number two. This is number three. Which, by the way, shows you how great Kaleidostar is to actually beat this anime, which is an ecchi anime, over me, an ecchi fan. But enough about that. What's this anime that I'm talking about? Well, I told you last week, it's Golden Boy, one of the greatest animes ever made, one of the greatest comedy animes ever made. I've never heard anybody who's actually watched this say bad stuff about this. And anybody who does, it is so obvious that they have an agenda. I mean, all you have to do is watch this anime, you'll be laughing so hard that literally anybody that tries to say anything bad about this show, it becomes obvious that they have some political agenda, you know, to try to prop themselves as pure and somehow above all of us mere mortals. But we'll get to more of that later down the road in this episode. But yes, Golda Boy, my god, I love this anime. The English dub, one of the few English dubs, and for that matter, one of the rare English dubs where it's 10 times better than the actual original dub. And in this case, this dub is 100 times better than the Japanese dub. Doug Smith as Kentaro Oi. Wow, one of my favorite performances ever in anime. Oh my god, I cannot wait to talk about voice acting, because all the voice actors were great. The one-liners, the jokes. Oh my god, the English dub writing cast, the translation, everything, it's so wonderful. You know, 90s animation, a really limited yet very good soundtrack, and just comedy galore. So yeah, this is one of my favorites, and I really can't wait to get into the review here. So let's get into cast and synopsis. We have no emails or comments to talk about this week. So let's get right into our cast. Doug Smith, also known as Douglas Smith, but I prefer Doug Smith, as Kentaro Oi, Studier of Life. The legendary Tiffany Grant, which probably more well known as Asuka from Evangelion, as the Madam President, Allison Keith. Again, people might know more as Mitsuragi from Evangelion. We have a lot of ex-Evangelion actors here. Wendy Lee, Lauren Chapman, I know, was in there. Sue Ola, Keith Sivers, all of these were in there. Allison Keith plays Naoko Katsuda. Kim Sevier plays Noriko. Sue Olu plays Ayuko Hamarizu. Laura Chapman plays Reiko Teriyama. Yvonne Aguirre plays Chi. And we also have Travis McKiston as the boss. Jalen Sweezy is the director. And Rob Mulgan voicing the artist creator of this series himself, Tetsuya Egawa. Yes, he's parodied in the very last episode, and he's like a Mel Brooks. If you watch the Mel Brooks movie, and you know when, you know, the director or whatever comes in is played by Mel Brooks, that's the character he's playing. to a very weird, twisted level, but that's here and there, or besides the point. But our synopsis, we follow a young Japanese man named Kentaro Oi, who, even though he basically completed everything he needed to do to get his law degree from Tokyo U, he dropped out before graduation, so he'd become a jobber and travel through Japan as he studies life. And that is basically the synopsis. We'll get into more later. So with all that being said, let's get into our review of Golden Boy.
We'll be right back.
welcome back. And let's start as we usually do. We start with music and we start with animation. Let's start with music. Golden Voice opening and closing. Now, these aren't your typical sort of J-pop openings that you hear nowadays. Again, this was the 90s. You know, the opening is just this pure instrumental piece that really encapsulates really what Golden Boy is about. It's just this cheerful sort of upbeat, not completely up-tempo, but just sort of this upbeat feeling within it. I'm trying to think of the instrument. It's sort of electronic keyboard, sort of instrumental. That feeling of just the adventure and the study of life is definitely felt within this song. And I think it's a great song for Golden Boy. And again, the opening animation of him, basically, it's so different from sort of the comedy of the series. It's the opening is played completely serious, and it's just him putting on, you know, sort of bike gloves and everything, and him just riding. and it just... him going off, and then you have the letters flying out, you know, and it's very pow in your face, and I love it. I really love it. It's something that's actually overlooked pretty much when it comes to Golden Boy, but it's really, really done well. And then the closing theme is just this very fun, very cheerful sort of poppy song, you know, very goofy in its feel. And it sort of fits, again, it's a very great ending for these six episodes of the series. I was going to say each of the six episodes of the series. But yeah, it's just very poppy. It pops off. It's... in the span of things, is it the greatest thing ever made? No, but these two songs, the opening and closing, they're really well done. They're catchy in a way. They're not... there are things that if you start humming them, you'll find yourself starting to, you know, get stuck with them in your head. But they're not something that you'll just remember out of thin air and start singing. You have to, like, hear it first and then, you know, you'll get stuck with it. But in that sense, it is very catchy and it's great music and it does exactly what it needs to do as opening and closings for each of the six episodes. And then there's the overall score of the show. And... it's a very limited score, and there's, you know, music that is unique pretty much to most of the episodes, but really, all of the music is really, really well done, and it's, I mean, it's easy to tell, oh, what each of these musical pieces are supposed to do, but it's, they're very unique, and if you do hear them, you know what show you're listening to. Number one, there is this great... reggae tune, you know, it's in episode 2, it's also in episode 5, it's this very funny sort of my poor attempt at doing reggae, but yeah, it's just this very funny, very, this hilarious reggae tune that's normally it would seem out of place, but for this sort of comedy series, it fits. Episode 3 has this very nice piano piece playing throughout it that fits Noriko's character. There's a piece in episode 4, sort of this piece that would more fit sort of the Wild Savannas, but really fits Ayuko's character, because again, you know, the whole thing of him continuously saying that she's this wild beast. And it's this very sort of odd mix, but yet it fits. Again, they have the reggae in episode 5. But one of my favorite tunes is also in episode 5, and it's at the end, which we'll be talking about later. But there's this sort of gospel song where he goes, da, 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 yeah. I was like, it just adds to the punchline at the end of that episode. Oh, we're going to be talking about that episode. Oh, Lord, I love it. Warning right now. When you get to story, there will be spoilers. Not that you, if you've been listening to the show, you don't already know that there isn't spoilers, or just that they are spoilers. I really don't care. But at the same point in time, if you've not watched Golden Boy, there will be spoilers. But yeah, I love the hilarity of that gospel song. And the music throughout the series is really good. It's a limited soundtrack, but it's done really, really well. And it does its job of enhancing the show. It's everything what music is supposed to do. If there's really any criticism, it's that there's really no music that just stands out like Two Mix or stuff in Kaleido Star or music in other series does. But I really don't see that as much of a criticism as much as it's its own thing. And really, I can't fault the show for not having something that just has become so popular that it's like making millions of dollars on its own. But yeah, the music is done really, really well. Let's move on to animation. Let's talk about the overall style of Golden Boy. And this is classic 90s animation from Japan. Sort of the crisp lines and the combination of thin crisp lines with sort of bold, solid lines. Done perfectly to create very realistic looking characters. You don't see any of sort of the what's become synonymous with Japanese anime, you know, the wildly different colored hairs, the wild colored eyes and the, big hair and all the stuff that you see in today's anime. It was that sort of very realistic, very 90s style of animation from Japan, and I love it. The soft palette and of colors and everything, the very realistic character designs, which we'll get to in a second. Everything about the overall style of Golden Boy, I love. Tetsuya Igawa's designs are beautiful. Backgrounds in this series are beautiful. The special effects are done right. They enhance the scene, but they don't overpower it. Everything in this series is done perfectly. Again, those character designs, as I said, we'll talk about. Let's talk about them now. Really, really love the design. Again, that sort of everyman design that he gives Kentaro Oi. You know, there are people that will like pick on this, like, oh, it's the classic pervert with a heart of gold. Well, it's not so much classic as much as really this is where that whole concept of the pervert with a heart of gold came from. You know, you can't say that it's copying when, it's the one that really created it. But part of the reason it was able to create that is because of the design. Kentaro, as goofy as he looks sometimes throughout the series, when he is played in the more serious, you see him as that everyman. He is that, very cool next door neighbor that, bring over to your barbecue, you can talk sports. We talk about, hey, Eartha Kitt turned 60. Would you still hit it? Damn right I'd still hit it. not that I've ever played that game with Brad Douglas, George Berryman, Zach Joyner, Michael Bailey, Donovan Morgan Grant, Joshua Petroni, Beetle, and Berserk Fury at 2 a.m. in the morning on Skype. No, that would never happen. but really, that sort of, again, we talk about it with Spider-Man, that everyman feel. Kentaro Oi has that everyman feel to him. He's just this sort of very down-to-earth, very realistic character design. I like the design of his hair. I think it's really cool looking. Gives him a distinct look. But again, that just everyman feel. You feel like you know this guy. And for that matter, kind of want to be this guy, just in design-wise. And then the girls, again, really, all of them are really done realistic. Their sensuality comes from a natural beauty. Even the Madam President, who I talked about not having big hair, she's really the only one that has big hair to speak of. But big blonde hair, big boobs that are constantly jiggling, which is a running gag throughout the series, that her boobs are always jiggling whenever they're on screen, which is absolutely hilarious. Again, we'll talk more about that with comedy. But even her, there's a sense of realism to her character designs. Naruko, again, sort of that upper class sort of sensuality to her. Noriko has just sort of an innocence to her design. Ayuko, you know, they make the whole sense about her being a wild beast, you know, that sort of the athlete, that passion, that sort of athletic that drive of athlete, you definitely feel within her design, which is a very athletic design upon itself. You know, Reiko being, again, they talk about her being sort of high class art of beauty, and yet being wild at the same time. You know, she has basically those two designs. She has more of the elegant design that we see her, when we see her, in her family's house, and they're part of high society, but when she gets where she really wants to be, and, you know, at her bike, yeah, again, that sort of wildness, that feel of Meadow definitely comes out in her design as well. And she just sort of, you know, just the very normal every girl. You know, it's kind of funny. They have a joke poster on the wall in Golden Boy in the 6th episode that says Golden Girl. And really, that's who she is. She's design is the Golden Girl. She is the every girl. That sort of really cute girl around the street that, you know, you really want to get to know. Because, you know, she's really cute. But she's also a really cool friend. And that's who she is. And the rest of the character designs, from bosses to Mayor Katsuda to even the design of Tetsuya Egawa himself, are all really down to earth. All the character designs are really, really well done, and I love them. The special effects are done really, really well. There's not the obvious special effects you would think of in this series, because it's not an action series, it's a comedy series. But there's dust, there's sliding, there's... Again, it's that sort of classic special effects that you see in 90s series, and it's all done really well. But, you know, all the special effects in this series, you know, because you see, do see sparks, you do see, you know, water effects and stuff like that. It's all done really, really well. It enhances the scene. And I think the greatest compliment I can give to the effects for this series is you really don't notice them. And I think that's the point in this series, because it is a comedy series. You're supposed to be focused on the comedy. And the effects do a great job of, you know, enhancing the comedy to the point that really you don't notice them. You don't notice that these effects are enhancing the comedy that you see in the scene. And it's done really, really well. And then you have the backgrounds, which are just gorgeous. You know, whether they're in a city, you know, whether they're in a country, no matter where they are, they're done really, really well. You know, again, just a background being them at a pool, gorgeously done. Of course, my favorite background, again, episode 5 is pretty much my favorite episode, because there's so much I love about it, and one of them is the backgrounds. Those mountain backgrounds, and for that matter, the mountain backgrounds with all those twisty roads in them, it's like, wow, we've arrived to where Initial D was shot. But really, yeah, I mean, just gorgeous use of watercolors and soft palette techniques to create these beautiful, beautiful backgrounds. The cityscape, again, all of it feels down to earth and all of it feels real. So for that matter, I really, really love the backgrounds. In closing, when it comes to animation, it's all down to earth. It all feels real. And it all really leads to why the comedy is done so well. You have these very down to earth, realistic feels to both the music, the animation, that it allows them to be wacky and crazy with the comedy, as we'll see in a couple minutes. With that being said, we're going to take our usual break. I'm going to play a couple promos for you for other podcasts that you should be checking out. And when we come back, we're going to dive into acting and story of Golden Boy.
The funeral is over. Jonathan Kent is on the mend. So, how's Clark's father?
Oh, much, much better.
Lois has returned home.
Lois, over here!
Harry, wife? Since when did you start meeting your staff at the airport? How'd you know I was returning on that flight?
A good editor checks out his hunches, Lois. I got a hot story of one to one straight away. I'm parked over here.
But just as Metropolis has learned to live without the Man of Steel.
I know, there was only one Superman, but Metropolis just hit the jackpot. Because we got four Supermen now, and nobody knows which of them, if any, is the real McCoy.
Four beings of incredible power and intellect have laid claim to the Man of Steel's name.
The last son of Krypton.
I live.
The Man of Steel.
Man of Steel coming through! Nobody move! This is a bust!
The Cyborg.
Yes, I'm Superman. I'm back.
The Boy of Steel.
Put me down!
Listen, pal, don't ever call me Superboy. Capiche?
The reign of the Superman is upon us, and so from crisis to crisis, a Superman podcast begins its epic coverage of this last act in the epic Death and Return of Superman saga. Every week, Michael Bailey and Jeffrey Taylor, along with the best and the brightest in the podcasting community, will cover this event in all of its forms, from the comics to the novelizations, to the audio drama, and beyond. Superman is back, but is any of them the real Man of Steel? Find out on From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, located at www.supermanhomepage.com and www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
I guess you weren't so tough after all, were you? Now it's time to send you to the next dimension.
291 original episodes.
This can't be. It's still going up!
325 manga chapters.
You act innocent, but you're deadly.
Time to die!
Dozens of characters, hundreds of enemies, and a whole lot of violence.
That kind of violence is pointless!
You see, Super Saiyans tend to be a bit violent.
Oh, crap!
Join hosts Donovan and Jesse as they cover the arrival of the Saiyans, the journey to Namek, the battle with Frieza, the mystery of the androids, and the terror of Majin Buu.
I lied when I said you could go. At least partially lied, for I will let you go to another dimension.
The Next Dimension, a Dragon Ball Z podcast. Join the fight at dbznextdimension.libsyn.com.
Okay, let's get this show on the road, gang.
I'm Batman.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Monthly Mondays, available the third Monday of every month at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
And welcome back. And let's dive right into acting, shall we? And usually I would say we're going to have protagonists and then we're going to talk about antagonists. But there really isn't any antagonist to talk about. There's protagonists and indifferent. Because there really is no villain to this series, as we'll get to when we get to story. But again, it's this adventure as he meets people, and there are people who are sort of indifferent to him and people who aren't. I mean, I guess the guy who's trying to fraud Noriko's father out of the father shop by marrying her and divorcing her is a bad guy, and the of a sponsor for the animation studio, which again, I'll get into all reasons why I love that episode in a little bit. They could be kind of considered protagonists, but they're played so over the top as bad guys. It's wonderful. So just let's get those out of the way. Really good job them being played over the top. But yeah, the protagonists are the main, you know, draw here. And again, Doug Smith, Kentaro Oi. Kentaro Oi, 27 years old. I like to study, I like to study, I like to learn. What's this? A black bra! Life is a study. I love the recess! From the first episode, it's so freaking hilarious. Doug Smith nails this role. And a large reason of the success of this series is Doug Smith. Like, I called him Kentaro Oi. Doug Smith, who is an artist. He's not a voice actor. He's an artist who was working for ADV. And they basically said, hey, we have this character. We need, do you want to come and do it? I'm like, sure. Then they came in and they gave him the role. And he freaking nailed it. I mean, him coming up with sort of the, there's a line in the third episode where you know, he's all white because of the gay kiss that just happened for everybody to knock to you. The fact of the matter is, there's more like guy junk and homosexuality in this series than there really is any due to the, well, I'm not going to go that far. It's, but it's pretty much the same, actually. They show a lot of boners and nudity, and they actually show a nude penis, though censored. But that's besides the point. We'll get into more of that later. But in the third episode, you know, he's on that bed, he's white out, and Noriko is, you know, asking him, you know, about, you know, well, are you okay? He's like, insane! I'm just peachy! Every time I hear that line, I die laughing. Literally, I die laughing. I'm like, I'm just halfway through the third episode. I got 3.5 more to go. I'm gonna die today. It's really, really that good. And just throughout the series. Episode 4. You know, when Ayuko is getting on him because he's, you know, the classes he's teaching at the pool are not going, they're not progressing fast enough, and she starts ordering around. And so Doug does this sort of almost German-esque type of Nazi agreeing, like, yes, they must go faster! Yes, I must take the excellence! He doesn't do that, but that's me sort of mocking it. But it's almost like this German soldier sort of, I must follow orders! Maybe a Japanese soldier would be more correct, but it gets played more like Germans. It's just freaking hilarious. Take my word on it. You have to listen to hear it. It makes me laugh. And again, you know, the wild beast inside of you has arisen, the wild beast inside of me. Suck it to my pay! It's Doug Smith, it's the people who translated and wrote the English dub. Excellent. You know, and just little things like, you know, Spike Spencer, who does little roles throughout this series. He plays one of the thugs in the background who's beating him up at the end of episode 2. And again, you can hear about this story if you go into Blip, go to 132 Productions, find my Metricon interviews there that are there, and includes this story, you know, him, you know, at the end of it, he goes, you can hear him, because you hear one thug say it, and that's Spike Spencer. You hear him going, I'm going to live in America. And it's freaking hilarious. It's like, I didn't know that, but when he told me that, now every time I watch that scene, I listen for that, and I hear it, and I laugh so hard. And then the other voice, like, it's hard to get off Kentaro Oi, because not to say it's that episode 5, it's like, the whole line of... Every time he sees her on the bike is, oh, baby! Oh, I wish I was a motorcycle seat! the perversion he gives to the character when, you know, he's around toilets, which is really disturbing. Which is part of the comedy. It's like, how disturbing it can we creep out the audience with those scenes, is what those scenes are. But him going and going, study! 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 Oh, man. And of course, episode 5, it's, again, so hilarious. But really, what makes all those scenes work so well is that Doug is able to pull it back in with Kentaro Oi and really play the character serious. There are several really great sort of serious scenes, one of which with Naruko in episode 3, that are just done so extremely well on an acting level. Just the seriousness and sort of down-to-earthness between the characters, it really makes these poignant. And for Naruko, of this very sad moment, you really believe in these characters. And it's moments like that that are throughout the series that really also enhance the comedy. It makes the comedy and those comedic scenes work so much well. And it makes you understand sort of the feelings that these girls feel. And for that matter, all of the female, you know, Tiffany Grant, Allison Keith Seaver, Zoe Ola, Laura Chapman, Yvonne Ergay, all of them did wonderful, wonderful. You know, Tiffany Grant's always been a great actress. She's always had this very sultry feel to her acting. Madam President was a perfect character for her. Allison Keith, just the way she played this sort of very upset, and the lines she comes up with, I don't know if they were written or if she came up with them in sort of improv. Somebody, you know, there he is with his little boner. It's like, wow! But my favorite line from her character actually comes at the end of the series, which I'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, just, she did a great job playing that character, just switching from sort of that innocent high-class girl to that very sneaky, you know, girl with a father complex. You know, who thinks that, you know, she can do whatever she wants because, you know, no one will cross her daddy. Because her daddy's the mayor and is connected with the Yakuza. But, you know, Kim Caesar as Noriko, just a wonderful job playing her character. Just so down to earth with her character again. And very much like Chi, very much the sort of very down to earth, very realistic girl. That's just cool to be around. Sue did a wonderful job, again, just that really encapsulating the athlete, that sort of Olympic athlete, which, again, that's another wonderful comedic line from Kentaro Oi when he goes, don't you know, when the girl, when he challenges Ayuko to a swimming race, and one of the girls says, don't you know that's Yuriko Hamizu? You know, she won the gold medal in the 200-meter individual melee at the last Olympics. And he goes, I love it! Oh, it's freaking hilarious. But yeah, it's just... wow. Great job by her. Reiko Teriyama, wow. Every time, Laura Chapman, who plays Reiko Teriyama, excuse me. Wow. the sort of the connection and the great sort of chemistry between her and Doug Smith in that episode. And I know they did it separately, but even though they did it separately, they created this great chemistry between these two characters. Wow. And her whole line. It's like, wow, you are really disturbed there, lady. It's wonderful. And then we'll get to what she says at the end because, yeah, it goes more to comedy. I guess I want to go there. And then Yvonne Aguirre, great job as she. Overall with the acting, as you probably have heard, because I think I've gone on 15 minutes now. I mean, yeah, I know I've gone past like 10 minutes. I think I'm closing on the 15-minute mark here. But yeah, just incredible with the voice work here for Golden Boy. It really is what sets this show. It's just a wonderful dub cast that did a wonderful job and created a dub which is better than the original Japanese voice cast. So, and that really what leads to the great comedy in this series. With that, let's move on to story. And let's talk about each episode, because it really is only 6 episodes. We can really talk about each episode, and really how it leads to the plot of the series as a whole. I mean, it is just this comedy of Kentaro going through, going to job, and, basically him studying life, and how he affects people, because he is the everyman. He is the so-called Golden Boy. And when the chips are down, he always comes through. And it really is, that is part of the comedy of this series. It's like, I remember I brought this series, and this girl who, she said, I can't believe I like the series, but I do. And she said, the reason I love the series is because I want to see how he gets out of the next situation. Because he's always put into these situations like there's no way he can get out of it, and he gets out of it. It's like, how does he do it? In fact, after a recent commercial, I call an anime like this a no yes commercial, or no yes anime, comedy anime, that is. And what I mean by that is there's a we've all seen it. I think it premiered this past year at the Super Bowl, the Bud Light commercial. I believe it's a Bud Light where, they're talking about, rescue dogs, and, two guys come over and the guy's throwing a party and he goes, oh, this is my new dog. We go. I'm like, really? Yeah. Let's see what happens. Here we go. And he goes and he gets him, and he brings him up here and he goes, no. Yes. For me, that's what this anime is. This is an anime where I'll be with somebody and they'll go, no. And I go, yes. And they'll go, no. I'll go, yes. They'll go, no. I'll go, yes. Yeah. I mean, let's start with episode 1. The computers. Great comedy all the way through. The bra scene. Hilarious. I watched this episode with for like a birthday party of mine. With an anime club, we sat down, we watched this entire series, and most of us were all, like, computer people that worked with IT or web design or stuff like that. And so when he goes to unplug, the hell with this. We'll put point 2, which is talking about the comedy of this series, because we really need to. And he goes to unplug backup server, everyone like, oh, no! 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 What are you doing? And the hilarious scene there, it's absolutely hilarious. But again, in this episode, Kentaro was, Madam President was somebody who was, again, she was looking for somebody to exceed her expectation. She was looking for somebody who wouldn't be all talk and could actually back up what they said. Again, being that she was a woman of immense beauty and, of immense power herself, she ran into a lot of young punks, probably, who were a lot of talk, and Kentaro was the first one to finally sort of prove it at the end. And then again, she thinks she knew it because, again, all these other punks have been no talk, but as this episode went on, he proved himself. And again, Kintar, as crazy and as pervert as he can sometimes be, you know, they showed him learning throughout that episode. He was questions. And then you see all of that brought at the end of the episode where he's able to create that new software. And then her learning that, oh, he just gave the $10,000 that she gave him at the beginning of the episode when she almost ran him over to some old couple who's in trouble with the Yakuza blew her mind. And it was a great start to the series. And then you have episode 2. And the whole election thing, again, that great sort of reggae music in there is just hilarious. But yeah, Naruko, again, just playing the tease, and it's like the whole point of an election. It's got a lot of great, funny lines, and it was just, I'll go there. Let me help. We'll form a connection with this alien single mother. It's like, I'm not alien. I'm not single. Okay, and we'll form a bond of unionship or whatever he says. Once I bought this for Blake, I'm like, oh, that's nice. The whole him at the beginning of him getting caught looking behind him and then trying to look behind him again and injuring his neck, and he's going, oh, I really do have a cute butt. It's like little lines like that. But again, with Naruko, we see another sort of, again, and really all these females have this thing that they're looking for. For her, she was stuck in her father's shadow. She was looking for somebody who could help her break her out of that. She did have, to an extent, a father complex. She couldn't find anybody who would stand up to her father and therefore stand up and meet her own needs that she needed. That's why it goes to the point of, I'm blanking here, so I apologize, but again, Kintaro was the one who finally stood up to her. Again, and it's really a great comedic bit, like, oh my god, Kintaro's just dancing in the palm of her hand. She steals the journal, opens it up, and the punchline's right there. They just hit you with the punchline that he knew all along. It's like, oh my god, she thinks she's in plain tease. She thinks she can catch him with the amateur fashion? I will help her with my love. Holy shit, he's so right through me! It's like, wow! Oh my. Kentaro, again, he's smarter than he looks, and literally that is the whole point. He has a perverted goofiness to him, so people don't take him seriously. And it allows him to sort of exceed their expectations and help them in the end. And so when he, grabs her, and so when she cuts him and tries to, make him pay, and instead he just takes the punishment to save her, again, it makes her realize she was wrong and helped her through. And of course, it doesn't help the punchline at the very end of the episode. It's like, if you ever come back, I want you to be the one to take my virginity. Which I would like anybody to sit there, look me in the face right now, and tell me that if you heard that line, you would not die laughing. That line is supposed to be ridiculous. You're supposed to go, what? Oh, no, she did it. Oh, no. Oh, no, she did. Jesus, help this child. Oh, Jesus, help this child. Oh, my God, Jesus, help this child. Woo! Oh, Lord. How the hell he get out of that one? How the hell did he get out of that? Oh my, Jesus help me. Which, I'm really scaring myself right now because I'm supposed to be Jewish. last time I checked, I'm Jewish. I still have my birth, bar mitzvah certificate, so I'm really scaring myself right now. and then you have episode 3, and again, really what sets these 6 episodes up really good is the fact that episode 3 and episode 6, for that matter, to an extent, are really played serious and have really sort of down-to-earth characters in Chi or Noriko. But yeah, played down-to-earth. And again, that whole plot in that episode of the former Yakuza member, the businessman who basically set up this whole hit and run so he could try to seduce her so he could take over her father's noodle shop and get control of it so he could divorce her, take the shop, and turn it into a nightclub. In a plan that would span basically a year. And just the hilariousness of the things Kentaro goes through to try to help and try to protect her. That horse racing scene, or the scene where, you know, he ends up kissing Kentaro. Oh my god, you know, and no, the horse being named One-Eyed Jack. Oh my god. It's freaking hilarious, which leads to him going, it's just bitching. But, you know, with Noriko, it is a thing to where, you know, she is looking for that somebody who sort of has the passion for... She's probably the more harder member of the girls to really determine, you know, what she's looking for. Because really passion goes to Chi in a way. But, you know, she is looking for somebody who just can accept her from her. You know, somebody who can enjoy... You know, helping people like Noriko does. You know, her be wanting to, you know, she likes to arrange flowers and the stuff that she loves. You know, being part of the noodle shop and looking for somebody who enjoys her for just being that. And, you know, she looks towards the businessman. She falls for the businessman's ploys and sort of seduction. And, but by the time she realizes that, you know, what she had was right in front of her with Kentaro, it was time for him to go. And it was really this very poignant and very sad moment where you really felt to her, for her, that, you know, Kentaro was really the guy for her and, you know, he had to leave. You know. But at the same point in time, again, she had learned some lessons to sort of enjoy life. That's what Kentaro sort of taught her. And it really led to the moment of, you know, her coming back in episode 6. Then you have episode 4 with Ayuko. Haramizu. And I want to make sure I get that name right, because for whatever reason, all day long I've been stumbling over that name. But again, for her it was a matter of, you know, sort of the push, the athletic push to succeed, and sort of the demands of the sport to succeed had made her forgotten that, you know, part of becoming a world-class swimmer and world-class athlete for that matter is to fall in love, you know, with your sport. You know, she has great passion for the sport, but part of having that passion, you need to fall in love with that sport. And that's something that Kentaro, through the episode, reminds her of. And that's how he actually beats her. While he doesn't beat her in an outright race, which actually never happens, he beats her outright because he's the one who actually succeeds in making her classes more successful. And that whole point to where, at the end of the episode, after he, you know, she's thrown him out, you know, the little girl says, "Where's Coach Kentaro?" And, like, and she has that realization that, he beat me outright. And, you know, again, made her realize her mistake. In an episode that is really, really hilarious. And that episode is just cute. I love the interaction in that episode between Kentaro and the kids. And I think it really shows you the core of his inner character in that episode. But there's just so many great, you know, the students being dolphins and Ayuko is with a weapon is a hilarious scene upon itself. the scene of the kids and what they do with them is like, ooh, gross and hilarious at the same time. Him swimming. When he first tries out in the episode, he goes, is absolutely hilarious. Oh god, this link, and he's like, and he's so moving, mama, god, it's hilarious. But my favorite scene, bar none, in that episode is the most disturbing scene you'll ever see in an anime. And for that matter, I want to know who came up with the curriculum before Kentaro got there, because they're an absolute nutcase. Because they have these classes, and the point is, you know, the very first class the kids enter is sea level. And once they can hold their head underwater for 10 seconds, they move on to B class, and then, you know, A class, and then you go into class 12, and then it goes, you know, down from there till you get to class 1. At least I'm guessing. But anyway, so the point of C class, which they make the joke that you already realize, but, you know, so he's having a problem getting the kids to put their heads underwater, so one of the females says, oh, we've been instructed by Instructor Ayuko to, you know, just hold their head underwater. I'm like, wait, what? All right, it's time to bubble, 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 kid! And he's like, help me! And she, with a finger, pushes his head underwater, holds it there, goes, one, two, and the kid's struggling! And three, 10, there you go! The kid's coughing up more. There's a, they show the kid beside him. His eyes are wide as saucers. And it's like, oh my god, they're gonna freaking kill me! It's so freaking hilarious! My god, I love this anime! It is good. It's like, oh my god, it's so freaking hilarious. Oh, I mean, and that's the point about this show. Not all of the great comedy come from necessarily sexual jokes or perverted or very disturbing. Well, this is very disturbing, but in this sense, it's like, wow, really? Who is the nutcase who came up with that? I don't need to be a psychologist to know that that kid is going to have nightmares in a bathtub for years to come. Then we move on to episode 5. Let me get her, you know, motivation of Reiko, you know, right out of the way. Being that she is somebody from sort of high class society, you know, she needs to feel a rush. And again, so her inkling for rush was motorcycles, but she found that the people who rode motorcycles couldn't give her the rush she was looking for. They couldn't be, excuse my terminology, not man enough, you know, to fit what she needed. And that really all they were, you know, men, as she put it, with no dicks. Their dicks were in their bikes. So why did she need a guy with no dick when she could have her so-called BMO baby? You know, and what she was looking for was a man who would never quit, a man who could match her passion, a man that could give her the rush she was looking for. And that's what Kentaro was ultimately able to do at the end of the episode. You know, which leads to a great punchline we'll get to. But that whole episode, it is my favorite. Backgrounds, beautiful. I love, you know, the first sort of half when they're in sort of the high class society, it slows down a bit, but you want to know what? It's also necessary for what comes at the second half, which is the hilarious part. But just again, the disturbingness of him at the toilet, when he's sitting and he's licking her, I'm like, what the f*** are you doing? Are you a freaking crazy man? Are you like, oh my god? And it really is pretty much the only thing, but it really picks up in the second episode. Him following her, again, following on a bike, it's absolutely hilarious. But, yeah. gets there, peeks in, and she's masturbating on the bike. It's like, when I first saw this, everybody, and this is why I love showing this episode to groups of people, because everybody has the same reaction. Again, it's like, no. I'm like, yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. And everybody, every time I show this, people go silent, because they can't believe what they're watching. Like, how did this make it past censors? And like, you've got to, everybody has the same rage. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And then she goes into her diatribe of how men are not needed because all their balls are in their bikes and their Porsches, and, you know, because she does run into somebody with a Porsche and calls him pencil dick. It's like, wow, this, okay, I don't know who's more disturbing, Kentaro or her. And then you have the race. A race that is directly in the spirit of things like the Rat Race, Death Race 2000, you know, all those great wacky race movies. This is in the spirit. I always make the joke that this episode's moral is never underestimate a guy thinking with his other head. You never want to do that. Because you cannot predict the crazy shit he will do when he is thinking with his other head. And him goes like, and when he goes and he starts and he's about to go down, friends go, no, he's not. No, they're not going to have him. Like, yes, yes, yes. Yes, and he glides across water, and people are like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I swear, it sounds like they hate this, but they're laughing at the same time they're watching this. People from the halfway point of this episode where we see the masturbation scene, her, you know, talking down to him, and the race, it's nonstop laughter. Him grappling onto the Porsche. Him using the Porsche as a ramp, riding across the high electric wires. Her going, oh my god, how did he do it? Oh my god. Him riding out and him passing her and on his hands and knees and going around corners. And him jumping, like, oh my god, I can't believe he's going to jump. And, of course, we were all sort of the joke. We all knew because, you know, right before the break says, oh, I'll change the brake pads. Sherlock, do I print forewarning about something that's going to be important to something that's going to happen later in the episode? Aha! Clue, Sherlock! But and him, and like, and she's looking like, oh my god, I finally found something who's better than my Bebo baby. And like, just a shade, does put a bit of a damper on things that you're dead again. And Laura Chapman shines in this part of the episode. She shines through the entire episode, but really here. And then he appears out at the very bottom, somehow having survived. And again, that gospel music I talked about is playing. And like, huh? Come back! And she starts riding off with his hat. And I just lose it at that point, laughing hysterically. Because I was, come back and claim your prize! Ooh, make me a woman, Kentaro! Take this hot now! Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like, wow. Okay, I'm glad I have one more episode left because I can't take it anymore. And literally, from watching the show, I say that, and right now, doing this review, I can't because just going back over it is hilarious. And then you have episode 6, which is one of the greatest episodes of an anime ever in my mind. You know, my favorite is episode 5, but there is no doubt that the best is episode 6. It's one of those rare cases where that final episode of an anime is pretty much the best because it really encapsulates the entire anime, brings it all together, and really connects all these, what seemed like individual episodes together. First and foremost, the fact that it's about animation, just so fan service. Again, I love that sort of Tetsuya in this story makes, and again, the original creator, because what this episode is based off of, made, you know, sort of the upper, sort of the higher ups of Japanese anime industry, the bad guys to an extent, you know, through their sort of lackey, aka the sponsor played by Wendy Lee, which is really much what the truth is. And again, you know, they force these, because this is what really happens in Japanese anime. You know, this episode really sort of shows really what Japanese animators go through. They're paid very little. They're forced to stay overnight. They're forced. They're forced very much to, most of the time, work overtime with no extra pay. They're given crappy situations. They do it all because they love animation. And now you see so many of them out of work. Because why? Well, because the higher-ups want to put more money in their frickin' wallet. So, hey, we're gonna, you know, now, you know, give it to Korean animation. Because, you know, we only have to pay them half what we have to pay you. Because heaven forbid, you know, we actually pay our animators a decent wage for all the money they make us. But, you know, that's a story for another day. Let me get back on track with this episode. But the entire episode going through what it takes to make animation. As an animation fan myself, it's just full-on fan service in the form of how animation is made. But again, just Travis McCristen, you know, as the boss, hilarious. Chi, hilarious. The chemistry between the boss, Chi, and Kintaro is so wonderful. Wendy Lee as the sponsor, again, her best line is, you know, she gets automatic, all right, that's it. If you miss your deadline by so much of an hour, I'll destroy you. Go ahead, make my year. It's him, you know, when he, Kintaro, she, you know, cleans up the artist station. He goes, did you clean up my station? Yeah, boom! It just knocked it again. Like, now I don't know where anything is. And by the way, I love the picture from 1993 of an artist's desk in that scene. And then, you know, you have Gundam Jack, the artist with the Gundam jacket on, and, you know, there's references to Disney, and they're playing Pac-Man. And then Kintaro, using all of his connections that he made in the past 5 episodes, basically to help get this animation done. And it's like, wow. And it really just makes it all come together. And again, that's really what she learns in this episode, you know, that Kintaro teaches her, and why she falls in love with him as well as the other girls have. You know, that, you know, enjoy what you do in life. To have passion with what you do in life. That nothing we do is insignificant. You know, we have to enjoy life for what it is. That's what it really means to study life, for that matter. But yeah, really, her learning that alongside all the girls from the past 5 episodes, basically helping him because they're hoping to, you know, that they, you know, they'll get to thank him in a big way. They make no bones. They want to, excuse my language, they want to f*** his brains out. And then the ultimate thing of him thinking, oh my god, I screwed up. I better sneak away. But everybody ends up loving it. Ramen-kun as Tetsuya Egawa going, yes! 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 I love it! If I was a woman, I'd marry it and call it Susie! It's like, what? It's like, oh my god. And I thought that was it. Oh, no. Oh, the ultimate punchline to the entire series happens next. Where one of the artists comes in and says, Boss, Kintaro is gone! His bike is gone! And all the girls from the past 5 episodes stand up and goes, what? He ran away again? I can't believe it! And they all go running after this. And the final 2 voices are of Nako Katsuda and her friend, who get brought in to do voice work for this animation. And she, you know, Nako goes, you're not leaving me a virgin. And then her friend, which I wish I had the name of the actress, says my favorite lines, or my second favorite line, she goes, have fun being deflowered. It's, I'm like, she became Billy Graham. It's like, bye bye boys, bye bye girls, have fun being deflowered. Do you think they could take them? It'd take a miracle. Yes, I went there, folks. Yes, I really went there. But no, that line of her saying, have fun being deflowered. Oh my God, I freaking love it. Oh, oh, I need a cigarette. As you can hear from the passion of me, and just with this show, I love it. The comedy is just golden. And yes, pun intended, both from a sort of use the way Toonami does it, and the fact that this is called Golden Boy. And really, this shows you the true comedy of Ecchi. You know, again, the comedy of Ecchi is, it's a combination of many things, and it can mean many things at one time. It all depends upon how the person can take that comedy. It's supposed to be absurd. It's supposed to be insane. It's supposed to say, what the hell? Because that's what it is. It's supposed to be absurd. It's supposed to be ridiculous. And at the same time, it's a satire that makes us look into our own acceptance of sexuality. Especially in this country, because of our culture's own, you know, Puritan, you know, sort of history and sort of the Judaic Christianic values that are entrenched in this country. And that, again, that's not a knock against religion. That is more of a knock, if anything, against sort of the religious or the geopolitical powers of religion in this country that do run this country. But for that matter, it's really not a knock at all. It's just fact. We are a Judeo-Christianic country. There are certain beliefs that we believe in, or that most people believe in. That's just fact. It really isn't a knock at all. It's just a fact. And it does provide satire to that as well. I actually do find it funny that they kind of really hint that Kentaro is very Christian. You know, it's one of the few sort of bad animation scenes. And I say that because they give him three arms. It's an obvious mistake in the animation. But there's a scene where he's praying to St. Peter's or one of the saints. But they kind of make hints here or there that he's kind of Christian. Which I find really unique. But yeah, it's a comedy etchy, and it's something I didn't really talk about all this month. It's something to where it is about being ridiculous. It is about being insane. It is about, you know, realizing that what you're watching is ridiculous and laughing at it. And that's why so many people enjoy it. And that's why so many girls enjoy it. Because again, it's never played serious, and we have to understand that. Whether it be Ikitosen, there are serious things to take from it, but the jokes themselves, they're satire of our own, you know, cultural acceptance of sexuality. At the same time, they're also meant to be looked upon as being ridiculous and enjoying them for being ridiculous. And no better is those examples presented than in this anime. So as I close out Ecchi Month, I think a lot of people really should give Ecchi anime, you know, second chances and really just look at it with an open mind. I know not everybody is, but really you should look at, especially the Ecchi animes that I presented this month with, you know, Cat Planet Cuties, Ikitosen, Golden Boy especially. You know, all of them are really, really hilarious animes that, you know, at the end of the day, the point is for you to sit through it, laugh your ass off and say, you know what, I had a good couple hours watching a couple episodes. Or in the case of Golden Boy, I had a good 2 hours watching that series. But with Golden Boy, my final views are 5 out of 5. Again, this is one of the most perfect animes ever. There's one animation mistake that I, you know, just spoke of. But there really isn't anything else wrong. The music is perfect for the series. The animation is wonderful and beautiful. The voice acting, the Japanese cast is really good, and I didn't really talk about them, but that's because, again, I have the English version, and the English version is 100 times better in one of those rare cases where the English voice dub is better than the Japanese dub, or Japanese voice version. And the story and the comedies, or the jokes, all of them, you know, just perfectly encapsulate sort of the joy and the theme of studying life in this series. It's such a shame that they didn't get to create more of this anime, and I hope one day they get to create another Golden Boy. I know I will be anxiously awaiting them creating that. And with that, so 5 out of 5 for me for Golden Boy. Every anime fan should have this anime as a part of their collection. I really think, I mean, unless you're under 18, that's the only reason I can see for you not to have this series, because it is a over 17 anime. It's not a, it does sometimes border that line of H anime, but, you know, for that matter, it's, oh, you know, it's basically rated R. Is basically the way to put it. So that's really the only reason I can see for you not having this anime. But if you're a real anime fan, you should have this anime as part of your collection. So that is it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative. As we reach the hour and 10-minute mark, I was kind of afraid when I started this episode that it might be short, especially with, you know, as quickly as going through the other topics. But yeah, I did not think talking about each episode would go so long. But with that being said, remember, there are several ways you can contact the show. If you have any comments about Golden Boy, if you have any comments about the show, any comments about my performance, how I did, fan mail, hate mail, whatever you want to send, there are several ways you can do it. One, you can send me an email at absolution132@yahoo.com. That's absolution132@yahoo.com. You can also leave us a message on our Facebook page, which you can find by going to Facebook and searching Absolution Network. Like us and leave us a comment there. And remember, any and all comments or emails that get sent to us, we'll read. And speaking of comments, you can also leave us a comment on the site directly itself, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Again, like I said, all comments will be read unless we're notified that you don't want your comment read on the air. And, of course, remember, you can check out all the other 132 production sites. Check them out. You know, Mean Gene's new anime site. You know, he does great work there. Chris Stanton's random Redbox reviews. Of course, you have Otaku Momentum here on the Absolution Network. And, of course, my other podcasting sites, which include Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com, and of course the Comic Book Crazy podcasting site, which includes Hexcast, which will have a new episode out this week, Comic Book Crazy, and the Comic Book Pitch. You can find all of those and more at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And of course, remember to check out all our friends on the sidebar of all our sites. They do great podcasts, and really check them out. This includes, of course, Michael Bailey's Views from the Long Box, and of course, From Crisis to Crisis, that he does with Jeffrey Taylor, Brad Douglas's Spider-Man Crawl Space, Steven Schleicher's Major Spoilers podcast, and of course, Scott Gardner's 2 True Freaks, and many more on the sidebar of the site. And that is it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative. Next week, we're taking a break, folks, because I need one. Because next month, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday. You know, my birthday, second week of September. I need a break to relax and prepare. Pretty much all of next month will be just a celebration of some of the stuff I like. But in 2 weeks, next episode will come out. And I'm actually going to do something different. I'm going to have sort of a talk about. And what I mean is, we're just going to be discussing a creator I like. And I'm actually going to be talking about an American creator I like. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back. We're going to have a couple friends on, and we're going to talk about Hanna-Barbera animation. After, you know, watching Cat Planet Cuties, I'm really into Hanna-Barbera character. And so, you know, growing up with Hanna-Barbera cartoons, sometimes they don't get the respect that I think they deserve. So we're just going to have a simple conversation about Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
A cursed samurai. Succeeded again in eluding my effort, but I am not worried, for one day you will fail.
Listening to the Toonami Black Hole Megamix by DJ Clark Nova. Don't sleep on it.